God. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back. Once again, welcome back to all of you YouTubers watching from the comfort of your couches. Nothing but masked bandits in here. Okay? You'd love it, though. Hope to see you soon. Little tiny thought for you here. Little tiny thought for you here today. It's the feast of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And it is one of the most important things we believe in our faith. I think that the doctrine of the ascension of Jesus into heaven is one of the least appreciated of all the things that we mention when we recite the creed. And the only thing I'd like to do for you here this morning is help you to more deeply appreciate why it matters to your life that Jesus ascended into heaven. So 40 days after Easter, 40 days after Jesus rises from the dead, he ascends into heaven. And if you do your math, that puts the Feast of the Ascension on a Thursday. And all you old timers remember that it was always Ascension Thursday, and maybe 20 years ago or so they moved it to a Sunday. But it's kind of a shame they moved it. Because when you move the Feast of the Ascension from Thursday to Sunday, you lose the symbolism of the 40. And that number 40 is a big deal in the Bible. 40 is a number that symbolizes transition and preparation. Okay, so you go through the Bible, and any time there's an enormous change, there's always some unit of 40 that precedes it. For example, our Lord begins his public ministry. He goes from his home life in Nazareth, working in the carpenter shop, living with a blessed mother, and he's out there now preaching, teaching, working miracles, doing everything that Jesus does in the Gospels. And how long does Jesus spend praying and fasting in the desert before he makes that big change? 40 days, right? Israelite people who go from slavery to freedom, from Egypt to the promised land, cross through the wilderness of the desert, and they're in there for how many years? 40 years, right? Change, transition, preparation. God wipes clean the slate on the planet Earth and starts over in the days of Noah. And how many days did God rain down rains from the heavens before Noah got into the boat? 40 days, right? Time of preparation, time of transition. And is there a preparation or a transition greater than Jesus, who's now going to pass away from our visible sight and no longer walk the earth like he did in the days of the apostles? That's why it's 40 days. That's why it's so important. That's why it's such an important transition. But what I really want to focus on this morning is the last line in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says to his apostles, "Behold, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." What a strange thing to say just before you leave. "I'm with you always," he says, "even until the end of the age." And then he ascends into heaven. Question for you here this morning. Why does Jesus say he's going to be with us always and then leave? Deeper question for you here this morning. Why doesn't he just stay here? Thomas Aquinas asked that question. Why didn't Jesus just stay here? I mean, how great would that be? You got a question? You got a doubt? He's right over there. Go ask him, right? Why doesn't he? Well, in understanding the answers to those questions, I think we'll better understand why the ascension matters so much. Here's the first point. The ascension doesn't mean Jesus is going away. Going to the Father does not mean going away. So in our first reading, we hear the beginning of Acts of the Apostles, and it picks up right where the Gospel of Luke leaves off, and it says that Jesus ascended up into the clouds, but that's not to imply that when he passed through the clouds, he kept on going, you know, like past the stratosphere and made a left turn at the moon. No. He ascended, and that means that he first descended. The ascension into heaven does not mean that he went someplace, because heaven isn't some place, as if you get there in a rocket ship. Like if you replace with a border, as if like on this side is heaven and that side's North Dakota. Not that they border each other, but you get the point. Right? Heaven isn't so much a place as a state of being. And he first descended from that state of being when he took on the ultimate humiliation by becoming a man. Now he returns to the state of being that he had for all eternity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So he doesn't go away. It's very, very important to understand that. Much that I could say about that, but I want to make another point. Why doesn't he just stay with us? Why didn't he just remain here on this earth? He said to his apostles many times, if you loved me, you'd rejoice that I'm going to my Father. He said to his apostles many times, I assure you, it's better for you that I go. Now, how on earth could it possibly be better for us that Jesus is not still walking the earth in his bodily form? Well, it turns out I can give you three pretty good reasons why, right? The first is that it deepens our faith. Remember Doubting Thomas? Doubting Thomas, who on the day that Jesus rose from the dead and was told by the apostles, we've seen the Lord, said, I won't believe until I see. And of course he did see, and Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. More blessed are those who still believe even though they have not seen. How's that possible? How on earth could it be more blessed not to have seen and yet to believe? Well, the answer lies in our understanding of the meaning of the word faith. Let's try to understand what faith means as a Catholic, okay? First of all, faith doesn't come from you. Faith is not your conviction about anything. Faith is not your emotions. Faith is not your knowledge. Faith is not the strength of your opinions. Faith is a great big gift that, when received, gives you the unfailing ability to believe what God has revealed, and that changes your whole life. I might have mentioned this before, but my favorite analogy for how to understand the gift of faith goes something like this. Try to imagine you have a brother. This brother is in the army. This brother is in Afghanistan. And you get word that your brother's been taken captive in Afghanistan, and you're worried and you're fretting and you can't sleep at night, you don't know what to do. Then one day you get a knock on the door. And the other side of the door is someone who says, I've got good news for you. Your brother's gonna be okay. I was in the army too, with them, and they set me free. And they set him free too, and he's gonna come home. That would be the most life-changing gift you could possibly receive. And everything would be different for you. That is a very good analogy for what it's like to receive the gift of faith, to believe what God has to tell us, and to let that good news penetrate your whole life. And here's the biggest difference it makes. Faith lets you know God in himself, not just stuff about him. Knowing things about God, you get that by seeing. But knowing God in himself is something that comes to us from faith. That's why Jesus says it's more blessed to believe than to see. That's why Jesus ascending into heaven profits us more than him staying on this earth. Second thing it does is it refocuses our hope. Now, I've spoken about hope maybe a month ago or so. And I told you, don't think that hope is optimism. Optimism is this cheerfulness that vaguely says that everything's going to work out for the best. Even though quite well you know things do not often work out for the best. That's not hope. Hope is a gift. It is a conviction that no matter what happens, God is going to give you everything you need to get to him. So hope is about God, and hope is about heaven. And that's why Jesus goes to heaven in the ascension, to show us where our hope lies. Because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go on forever and ever and ever in this world. I mean, how many election cycles would that be? Right? And who would want to be resuscitated again and go through all of this again? One trip through this place is enough. Don't take it personally, right? But understand, you were made for what St. Paul talked about. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. It's not dawned on your mind what God has prepared for you. And Jesus says to his apostles, this is why I go ahead of you, to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you also may be. Thank God Jesus ascended into heaven. Otherwise, we might try to fix our hope on this earth. And the last thing it does is it sets right our love. Now, I've talked to you a lot about love before, and I've said that love or charity isn't a feeling, isn't an emotion. It's a decision to do what's best for somebody else, regardless of how much it costs you. But let me add one thought to that this morning, okay? Love has an incredible power. It has the power to erase the distance between persons. I'll give you an example, okay? Imagine a mom. Imagine a mom with a little baby. Imagine a mom with a little baby who screams at 3 in the middle of the night. Maybe you don't have to imagine this. Maybe this is your daily life, okay? But what does that mom do to that baby who does nothing for her personally, no profit, no rest? She gets up and cares for that child out of love because she identifies her own good with the good of that child. There's no distinction between the two. My good and the good of the one I love are the same thing. It eliminates the distance between persons. And the important thing to understand about love is that it comes from on high. This is our understanding of the Trinity. There is no distance between the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are so close, they're one. And that is what God gives us as a flat-out gift. And Jesus goes to heaven to remind us where that gift comes from. Because it's so easy to fall in love with the things of this world, isn't it? It could be possessions, it could be your convenience, it could be your money or your honors, and you give your heart to these things. We all do, effortlessly. Question for you here this morning. Does that ever bring people together? No. It often has the exact opposite effect. Jesus ascends into heaven to remind us to look up, to tell us where our love really comes from. There are three and only three things that draw you close to God. Never forget this. Faith, hope, and love. That's it. Everything we do as a church, and I mean every prayer, every sacrament, everything we do is designed to deepen your faith, deepen your hope, deepen your love. If you ever wonder how close you are to God, if you ever wonder how deeply spiritual you are, how well you're doing in the Christian journey, and we all wonder that from time to time, don't look at how you feel. Don't look at what other people think of you. Don't look at how emotional your prayer life is. Look at your faith, look at your hope, look at your love. Ask yourself, am I growing in those three areas? And if the answer is yes, you're growing closer to God. That's why Jesus ascends into heaven, to strengthen us on the only thing that matters, drawing us to himself. So I hope you can see how important a feast day this really is. Not a wistful goodbye, but a brand new beginning. Our Lord not going away from us, but rather going ahead of us, so that where he is, we also may be. And let's you and I now press on in faith and in hope and in love, because one day, please God, we really need to see one another up there. Amen.